Hello, listeners. I'm Patricia Fisher, and thank you for tuning in to KPIP, Fayette's educational community low-power FM radio station. The following production has been a labor of love for the KPIP players, a small band of local folks who just simply enjoy acting. We are so very fortunate to have such a strong cast. For this particular production, we have got Joe Geist, Rachel Steele, David Holman, Jeffrey Graham, Jordan Brower, Malia McCutcheon, and Yvonne Gust. Many of these names you will recognize as people who are very active in our community, that they make the time in their busy schedules to enjoy the opportunity for acting is really a reflection of our local spirit. So thank you so very much. For this production, we have honored the original script writer's direction, which lends a particularly humorous touch to the exceptional script. For students of literature, it will interest you to know that the entire dialogue is written in heroic couplets, and it really keeps the script moving very quickly. Norman Corwin was one of the greats of the golden age of radio theater, and the KPIP players are looking forward to producing additional of his works in 2025. So stay tuned to hear more about these future productions. If you are interested in acting, directing, or audio production, please reach out to the KPIP players via the KPIP Facebook page, which you can find at KPIP-LP, or you can reach out to us by email at info@kpip-lp.org.
The following is a special KPIP Christmas presentation.
You better watch out, you better not cry. Don't pop, I'm telling you why.
Welcome to KPIP Players. Happy holidays, everyone. Today we are listening to The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, written by Norman Corwin and directed by Patricia Fisher. Did you ever hear about The Plot to Overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a high and a hey and a hi-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of a plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
Grot is a poetical term for grotto. Whenever you hear my voce sotto or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
In this Stygian grot, the notables of limbo hatched a plot, and what went on in the sulphurous hole was soon picked up by remote control. Of course, such a pickup is not made quickly. As a matter of fact, it's rather trickily. You mustn't mind it if it sounds erratic. There's merely intraterrestrial static. Don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder, just as we start on our journey under. You'll hear earthquakes in all the commoner varieties of natural phenomenon, and so below, via radio, to regions where legions of the damned go.
Mankind. a roof.
Nero, do you hear? Nero!
How dare you interrupt me in the middle of a movement of my favorite concerto? You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital, if the matter were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is fiddling, when it comes to be compared to Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I've been sent here to summon you to a great masked meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the flaming ghouls.
A meeting? What for? What's the big idea? Why, can't a fella have some peace down here?
Peace, poor soul, can't be found on the premises. This is a region abounding in nemesis.
Now you're talking like a travel folder. Tell me, Violet, before I smolder, why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against the festival that mortal men comfort in, gladden in again and again. You see, every year they get together.
Well, never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who'll be there.
His wickedness. Mephisto will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgia will be sitting by his side. And down in front by the sizzling sodium will be many personalities noted for their odium. Haman, Caligula, Medusa, and Legree.
That's all very nice, but
oh, you'll be sitting in row A center, between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy! Why, they're both deranged.
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Rightio! See you at the meeting, then.
Yes, and now, back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sotto voce person. It should have been explained that Nero is rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burn, he likes to play. It makes him feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up in Rome.
The meeting will now come to order, please. I've called you here from over 60 seas of boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus to stop what constitutes a loss for us. We've lost prestige, and I greatly deplore that we stand in danger of losing more. In the way of confidence and spirit, we're far from our goal. We're nowhere near it. And this is the reason, though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on Earth every late December because of Christmas. Now, please remember, as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask, and then suggestions.
Mr. Chairman.
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we've done well in our efforts to sell evil. I say we've done better. We have carried out the letter of your law. We've done what I think is a pretty good job. And I say, as a veteran demon...
Sit down there, Haman. Enough of this folly.
Sit down yourself. You're out of your trolley.
Sit down, for I am Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us while you're unbearable.
Fellow demons, this is no way to act. I warn you, proceed with a little more tact. I want more decorum in this forum. These personal remarks you make must cease. Now, Brother Ivan, speak your piece.
I merely want to say, in a casual way, that Haman is a radical. He always gets fanatical. Why anyone would think to hear him snort that the work of the devil should just stop short? Anybody think to hear him talking that dragons and lizards should stop walking the way of the world?
Mr. Chairman, Brother Ivan is a demagogue, with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. Now he says that...
Now that's enough. We shall hear from others. Surely there must be among you, brothers, enough of venom and malevolence to crush a mortal man's benevolence. It comes to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of all of us down here below? Very well then, sirs, very well, let's go. Let's lay down plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff of holly and mistletoe and stuff.
Mr. Chairman!
Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor, as a former emperor, anything which curbs our rule. I suggest we start right in manufacturing more sin. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew. Fruits and nuts and little cakes, poisonous as rattlesnakes. Useless worker bee, by chloride of mercury. Let us wrap in tinsel bright little gifts of dynamite.
Yes.
Work things so that men will fear whenever 1225 draws near. Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say you've got something there. And now, with this fine start, let's hear some more.
Mr. Chairman, may I level? The devil?
Yes, Brother Nero, you may have the floor.
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've just lately that men are giving their heirs to classical music by making it to jazz. They're swinging Bach and what is keener, they're doing the shag to Palestrina. As a connoisseur of music, of course I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov. But today, I note with a bitter shrug, they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point we're wasting time?
To say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted. If you take and swing all the Christmas carols, why think of the evil? Just bells and bells of sacrilege every time you play a pious song in a profane way. Why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us, fiends! Well?
Mr. Chairman!
Mr. Simon Legree.
I'd like to say that it seems to me that y'all is barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero has made a wrong guess. The way to go about it is to get in Congress and bribe a bunch of senators who know their oats, and just make a purchase of a block of votes. And then they can legislate a situation where they rule old Christmas right out of the nation. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't gonna be no Christmas anymore!
I think that Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
It's very cute.
And quite absurd.
To me, it seems a bit impractical, because you'd have to be so tactical. For instance, now, a senator who would sell his vote to our lobbyists may very well go out and become a tool of agencies representing the Yule.
By the eternal night, he's right!
Mr. Chairman!
Yes, Miss Borgia?
I think we should all give pause to think about the Santa Claus He is the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas.
Yeah, I'm a
girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity one?
Sometimes you are awful tease. I master Mephistopheles, and I murdered several dozens, poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins. Don't my work down here is Hades? Make me first among the ladies. Men of virtue all have cast me. I am sure that you can trust me.
Of that we haven't a particle of doubt. Miss Borgia, I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings toward ya. But many times a woman spy, alas, adores her victims. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're headed for some cyanides. You cross the Borgia, and you know the consequences that follow.
What?
Come, disciples, this is very bad. There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Suppose we put the matter to a vote. All those in favor of the motion made by friend Caligula, which was to shade the glamour of holiday by using selected poisons of our choosing. All those in favor will please signify by rising to their feet and saying aye.
Aye.
One vote in favor, Caligulus, and those opposed?
Nay.
The motion is defeated. Up we bring the plan of Brother Nero's to swing the hymns and pious music. All those for will please respond by raising up a paw. And those against?
Nay.
Very well. Now the project of Legree's. Who is there who totally agrees? Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Nay.
And now all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus. And those opposed? It seems to me the woman has her way with them. At least she has carried the day with them. The motion is carried. Now we will decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot of who will be sent to execute.
This is your old friend Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche. Noche is Spanish for night, you know. It's merely a reference just to show that English isn't all that I have to go by. Oh well, I guess I've missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling. To give them time to finish voting, let's see the weather. Now I'm quoting. The Daily Hellion. Continued heat, both overhead and under feet, of fresh and moderate gases blowing up to gale force and then going north by northwesterly. Light showers of brimstone by the evening hours. That's what it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? This is a thing a grabbers have fun with. Say the drawing should be soon done with. We expect the results any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn, and I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll all be proud of you.
Now, just one moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Fact or fancy, just word of mouth that he lives at the pole. Is it north or south? If he dwells in the regions to which I've referred, must I pass through a camp of Admiral Byrd? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off on a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you'll make your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you're bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, ah, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero if you don't succeed in your assignment. A disadvantage of our confinement. In Limbo's the fact that we only get one chance in all the eternal roulette of circumstances.
I know. If at first we don't succeed, we can try and try again. But there is no need, because nothing will come of it, meaning no offense. Do you mind if I take my departure hence?
That, my friends, was a big brass gong. It's used in this story right along to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will forever unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effects.
Me, stranger, is this Basel, Switzerland, or is it already Donner in Blitzerland?
Donner in Blitzerland, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister, and good day. Tell me, stranger, I've been walking inland for weeks. Where am I now?
In Finland!
Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock. Where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
Listen, stranger. After all these centuries of blistering heat, now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
No speak English, Eskimo.
There, by my frenetic soul, I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right? I wonder. Ah, a light. In a moment now, you'll hear me knock on Santa's door, and he'll unlock it, never more to lock again.
Coming.
So is Doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well, indeed. And you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I can see your chin. Chin is frozen. Also your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I'm about to perpetrate a fearful wrong. In short, I'm going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun. I know all about you.
Really?
Haven't I had my agent scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. And let me say...
Listen, Santa, I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling, and also The Shooting of Dan McGrew, and plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what broad guy I am, I've also the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with this reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from my main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you didn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education, I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the clan of Pan.
By others, no doubt, your wisdom may be prized, but I didn't come here to be criticized. In fact, I came to dispatch a duty, so don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you have any last words you want to say, then spill 'em. I haven't got all day.
What's the rush? Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day has always been 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry right back to hell, or they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? They're only interested in numerical.
Think so.
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the Styx! You're right! To think that he'd dare. Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
To answer that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Claudius, oh, Cassius, oh, Nepheline, what a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. But wait, I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. You remind me now of my royalty, just to get me in a mood for disloyalty. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses. Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of tutti frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of the holiday was one of such power that all the fiends below would gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm, because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm you know nothing about.
That's so.
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell you these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please, what beauties there may be that I have never seen?
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands, covered with a sheen of sweetness, its branches bending low with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No.
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face, or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve, or listened to grace at a table heavy with fruits and cakes, and all the wonders that a kitchen makes? Fowls and pastries, wines and meats, and nuts and raisins and candied sweets. Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling, in the frosty air heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever come back from a sleigh ride tingling, and your feet keeping time with the sleigh bells jingling? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly, or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly.
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it means to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends? Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know all the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you keep.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes. But that was centuries ago. You had no real way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
You see, I'm just a bit...
embarrassed?
Why, yes, sir.
Now, don't look harassed. I know why it is you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent all your past mistakes.
With many pains and aches of conscience.
Then you are welcome here. Please, take off your hat, your coat, your muffler also. Take your spat off. What happened to the other one? No matter, pardon me. You're probably thin, you'll presently be fatter. I serve good food here. I'll get you a platter of steak and mushrooms, medium or rare. Now, I'll bet that you're hungry as a bear. Just sit down, that's it. Right over here, and tell me, will you have some wine or beer? I never touch the stuff myself, but I managed to keep on hand a little rye for purposes medicinal. I mean, your chin should be unfrozen. What a state it's in.
A while ago, you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please, don't give a yelp. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed, there is. Indeed, there is. And I'm glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make this year, the job got past me. But first, you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right down here and stifle your curiosity? I'll bet it's for you right away now. It's down the hall a piece.
Well, who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries, I'm so happy I could buzz. It shows you what a lot a little Christmas spirit does. As emperor, I envied oft the cheerfulness of peasants. And now?
Well, here it is now, Nero. Here it is, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you a little gift.
But Santa, what reason?
A very good one, sir, thou, to wit, compliments of the season. Well, go ahead, open it. Why stand there so reflecting?
I'm just collecting thoughts, St. Nick. My thoughts I'm just collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship would carry us. How well. I say. What's this? It is a Stradivarius. Why, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play. I'll all night and day for you.
Oh, fine now. Now here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. Here's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I, remember me, your sotto voce friend. I've just come back to tell you that this story is at an end.
KPIP players in order of appearance today. The announcer was Joe Geis. And the Soho Voce was David Holman. And the messenger was Malia McCutcheon. And Nero was played by Jordan Brower. And Mephisto by Rachel Steele. Hammond by Malia McCutcheon. And Jeff Graham played Ivan the Terrible, Caligula, and Simon the Greedy. Von Gus played Lucretia Borgia, and Malia McCutcheon played Strangers 1 and 4, and Von Gus played Strangers 2 and 3. And I was Santa Claus. Thank you very much.
Along the Milky Way, I stopped off at the North Pole to spend a holiday. I called on dear old Santa Claus to see what I could see. He took me to his workshop and told his plans to me. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Daddy's watching.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Look at that crazy red suit.
Curly head, claws, and cuddle, and coo, and elephant guns, and kitty cars, too.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Ride, ride, red, ride. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa
is coming to town.
Santa.
Get rid of that frown, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town.
I'm telling you why.
It's in the bag.